No, you wouldn't want to say anything about the miniature chainsaw of death, would we?
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to Hacker Voice Radio.
This is your host.
Naxter. On the 22nd of August 2006.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is Belial, and I am talking to you via the internal microphone of my laptop.
Woo! That miniature chainsaw noise could be the CPU fan, you know.
It could be the CPU fan, or it could just be the CPU over melting.
Right, yes, it could be. Okay. Right then.
Yes.
What fascinating things have we got for today?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. No, I do have something.
Well, it's a Tuesday, so that means possibly Chick Tuesday.
Indeed.
I guess I could talk a little bit about, like, aircraft navigation and stuff like that.
Ooh, that's an idea.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
But go on. I wouldn't mind, but do go on with whatever you wanted to do.
No, I was just asking you whether you had anything. I don't have anything specific, but
okay.
I could talk about anything, really. Well, maybe not anything, but...
Okay, well, do we have any news or anything like that before we get started?
News so far as what goes? Us?
As the internet news or
interwebs.
Us or
should we do that after we've done some tech stuff?
Okay.
Because otherwise we'll just, like, do the news and spend hours talking about it and stuff. So if we want to do something tech, we may as well do it now.
Okay, cool.
Good plan?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Take it away.
That was a cue to make you start
okay.
Talking.
I got scared, sorry. I thought it was the devil. Fuck.
Wait, can you hear me okay and everything?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
That's good. Because it's hard for me to know that, because I don't have any feedback.
If I can't hear you, I'll probably stop talking at you.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I was talking to someone at the last 2600 meeting, and they said that they saw some strange things, like weird concrete buildings with extremely strong security on them for apparently what doesn't have anything inside, sort of thing. Like anything important, like what's behind there. and it's got a very strange shaped kind of concrete box on the top of the building. Mm. Now, judging from the place that the box was placed and the orientation of it and what was close to it, I suggested that it could possibly be a radio navigation tool for aircraft. Now, I just thought, because I explained to the person what they are and how they work, and they always seemed to be very interested, I thought, well, you know, I know about this stuff. I did a bit of flying myself, and I thought I might talk a little bit about it. So, to start off with, when commercial aircraft and as well as like private aircraft need to fly to one place to another, there's various means of being able to do this. It's just a quick overview of navigation. The whole air navigation syllabus for flight is quite intense, and this is not going to be a whole, you know, 7-day course of it. It's just a quick overview. You can either use a map or you can use a GPS, but either way, you're going to be using some sort of navigation method which is related to sea navigation, car navigation, all that stuff. It's like you have a compass and you have a time and you have the speed, so you need to know where you're going, how fast you're going, and how long you've been going so far during that journey, so that you can calculate distance and heading. Basically, to help you with that, they've invented these really cool things which are called non-directional beacons, or NDBs, as well as VHF or VORs, which are omni-range high frequency stations, and also DMEs, which stand for distance measuring equipment. Now, these all work through radio, and they talk to the aircraft, and the aircraft can then, the equipment on the aircraft can then assess the information from this signal. The first step is what's called a SSR transponder. The SSR transponder is set to a certain dial, which will let the control know what the aircraft is, what altitudes it's at, and how fast it's going. This machine is able to send a signal out as well as receive a signal as well. Most aircraft have transponders on board, and it's one of the most vital parts of meteorological navigation, or basically like high altitude flying and going through storms and stuff like that. Basically, it works on a radar method that sends out a pulse on a certain frequency, and the radar hits the plane, it bounces off, and the transponder identifies the aircraft at what altitude and what the like ID of the plane is. That comes up on a radar screen for the air traffic control person to be able to determine what that plane is doing. You can change the transponder by going through all the dials. The dials go from 0 to 9, and there's 4 of them, so you can have different identities on it. They're usually set to 1200, but there's different IDs that you set for landing or taking off or runway and so on. The second step is the DME. This is a ground station that sends out a signal that's calibrated at a certain distance. So if the DME is set to be calibrated at, let's say, 50 nautical miles, when a plane approaches the DME at any less than 50 nautical miles, or to an altitude of 5,000 feet, the cockpit would sound like with a signal. It usually sounds a bit like beep 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 beep, like a very short intense pulse. And DMEs can be calibrated to trigger at a certain range or a certain height. These are usually found in three segments. So you have one which is at 3,000 feet, one which is at 1,500 feet, and then another one which is at 5,500 feet. These are useful for these are usually placed in front of the runway, so that the plane knows that it's at a certain height when it's coming into land. This is useful for meteorological flying when there's absolutely no visibility, so that an audio signal can be heard in the cockpit. The second step is the non-directional aerial and the directional automatic directional finder. These work at a set frequency, usually in the range of 300 kilohertz, and a compass within the aircraft will actually tune into that frequency. So if you were trying to head at the heading of, let's say, 325 degrees, you would tune your compass into 352 kilohertz, which would be the correct frequency of the non-directional beacon, and using that you are able to actually navigate your way to that heading. These are all fine and well, but as I said, they're non-directional, so you're not able to get a accurate waypoint. The next step from that is the directional beacon. These are used for waypoint finding, and you're able to actually navigate with them. If your country is so lucky to have a few more of these, you can actually tune your ADF instrument in the aircraft to the frequency of the beacon, then select with a needle on the instrument which heading you want to reach. A separate floating needle will show you if you're too far left or too far right or dead center by tuning into that certain radial of that beacon. So what happens is the beacon will actually transmit frequencies at degrees, and the aircraft instrument can actually pick up on that degree variant to be able to guide itself forward. So if the plane is flying at that angle or at that degree towards the beacon, there's a little flag which is a little white flag that appears at the bottom. When you're getting closer or you've reached or you're on top of the beacon, the instrument no longer works and a red bar appears across the instrument to show you that you're on top of the beacon or you've gone out of range. As soon as you fly further over the line, a blue flag appears to indicate that you have passed the beacon, and the needle that was pointing towards your heading is now pointing away from your heading.
which means that you need to now tune into the next beacon ahead of you to be able to navigate to the next waypoint. All this time you're also measuring your magnetic compass as well as the time that you've flown, and you're going to be assessing on a map how far you've gone with your own manual waypoints so that you don't get lost. And these ADF aerials are pretty cool because they're able to allow the instrument inside the aircraft to actually listen in on a set frequency and enable the instruments within the aircraft to actually tell it if it's too far off to the left of that angle, or if it's too far off to the right, if you've just gone on top of the actual beacon, or if you've gone way past it and you're out of range. These things are pretty cool. They're actually scattered around all over the United Kingdom. You'll actually see a lot of them around airports, which is probably the most common part of finding these instruments is definitely around airports and around military sites. There's a whole ton of them around Heathrow to indicate navigational points, and they're on all the time. They're high security buildings, and they've got a certain amount of fallback as well in them. I've never had the chance to actually go to these buildings. They're actually called a VOR building, and if you ever get the chance to go to one, I'm sure that you're probably in the MOD or something like that. But they're sized at about, I don't know, they're probably bigger than like a two-floor house. They're two floors by two, and they're hexagonal buildings. So they can, I guess, for the nature of the equipment inside, it needs to be hexagonal. And the VOR transmits at 360 degree radials from the equipment inside to allow the pilot to be able to actually jump on a radial and navigate throughout the chart to get to the other side of the equipment on the ground, so that if you were following one, let's say you wanted to travel from Manchester to London, and you would actually need either one or two in between Manchester and London to be able to find the route. And let's say you joined let's say you were flying at a heading of 180 degrees, you would then need to join a VOR heading of 190 to go east or southeast. You'd have to tune your equipment into that and then keep heading like 25 minutes till you've flown over, depending obviously on your calculations, and then you'll get to the second one, and then you have to tune your VOR equipment back into that. Now obviously all the stuff that I've just said is completely and utterly redundant and has been made PS technology.
Yeah, you're breaking up a bit. Hello?
I was saying GPS technology has completely... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, you're breaking up a bit though.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think I'm lagging out.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you reconnect? Because it's going a bit dodgy.
Yeah, sorry. One second.
Okay. Right. The wonders of Skype.
Hello.
Hello, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Cool.
You were saying GPS.
Yeah, it's completely taken over all of this. And the only reason, I think the only reason why people still learn this stuff and have to learn it is in case the GPS fails and you have to actually resort back to the old ways. I think people are still taught like basic compass navigation to this day, and it's important to know that. But anyway, that's basically how VOR radio navigation works.
Cool. Very informational and interesting and stuff.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to add in Mr. Vesalius to this conference. Ding! Let's hope he picks up. Doopy doopy doo. Connecting, ringing. And here he comes. I'm going to scare him.
Ringing. Connecting.
Come on, dude. Oh, damn. Try to ping him on the IRC. Right. Cool, okay. So, that's very good bit of Tech Tuesday-ness. Let's have a look how we're doing for time. We've done about 22 minutes, that's good. That means we've got plenty of time
excellent.
For...
For more porn!
Yes, porn indeed! That was one of the bits of news that I had. Yes, a Swedish... It had to be Swedish, didn't it?
By the way, I think it wants you to call back.
Does he? Okay, I'll do that then. Click. Ringing.
Hello. What is your purpose? Hello.
To annoy people. Hello.
Really? Identify yourself.
Vesalius.
Okay, that'll do.
Yes.
Right. Yes, news. We have news. Do we not? I think I have some news. Hello?
You think?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. A Swedish news program, the same program, Report, I think, was the same people to bring us the news about the USA attacking a certain Swedish BitTorrent site, has recently aired a news report live, which had some porn in the background. How awesome. It would have to be Sweden, wouldn't it?
Just Sweden with the porn.
Exactly. You know, you should share it a bit more. No. Yeah, apparently some people in the studio had switched over to watch some sport previously whilst they were hanging around for some reason or other. And it turns out this sports channel also showed adult material after a certain time of day. So when they recorded this news report at the end of the day, I think it aired at midnight, they had porn going on in the background. And about 30 seconds later, some guy appeared and turned the monitor off. Yeah, sounds good to me. Apparently they were very, very sorry, but nobody complained.
I would just like to say, if anybody is listening who knows how to parse shoutcast stats properly with PHP, please get in contact with me, because I'm about to throw something, it doesn't seem to want to work.
Damn.
Ozcast is working absolutely perfectly fine. It's cool. Just shoutcast.
Well, we don't. If it's such of a problem, we don't need to actually support shoutcast.
That is a very good point.
It's just I was thinking, since quite a lot of people use shoutcast these days for this sort of thing, then it might be pretty useful if we happen to get a shoutcast server to use. We could use it.
No, I'd say it's probably better to do to just use Icecast, especially for this sort of thing, because like you said, I've had to write two completely different functions because the way it does everything is completely different, and it gets sort of irritating where Icecast works and Shoutcast doesn't, because of the way they work, and then you get the Shoutcast one to work, and then that stops the Icecast one working because they're just so different, so irritating.
Shoutcast servers.
Sorry?
Can we not just use two Shoutcast servers?
What do you mean?
Well, obviously, if it doesn't work with two different...
I can't actually get Shoutcast stats working at all. If you look at the link I've just put, the server one is Icecast and server two is Shoutcast. If you notice, the Icecast one has managed to pick up everything, but the Shoutcast server isn't returning anything at all.
Okay, so can you get it to work on the Shoutcast?
No, I don't. That's what I'm trying to do at the moment. I'm just...
I was using a Shoutcast stats PHP script before.
Have you still got it?
Yeah.
I've got one that works, but... But it works. It's a separate class on its own. I'm just trying to rewrite it into one class at the moment.
I had it running as a separate. No, I had it running on the first ever Hackavoid website, which was very well designed.
Obviously.
In TextPad.
What?
Sorry, I've got my stupid effects box plugged in tonight.
I want an effects box, it sounds really cool.
What?
I want an effects box.
Yes.
For voice masking.
What else can you do with it?
I'll show you in a minute.
We're going to get some weird pictures.
I can do a reverse gate. Yes. It's quite amusing.
Can you make
that's one of the freakiest things I've ever seen.
Can you make yourself sound into a goal?
What sort?
The goal, goal.
I can sound like an alien.
That's good enough for me.
Orange.
That's good enough for me.
I can sound like Marvin. Hang
Marvin
on a second. I know the settings for this one.
Hello. Ooh. I have a terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side.
Yes, quite. And there's a reverb. Hello.
That's a very deep well you're sitting in.
I know. I didn't think I could broadcast from down here.
What does it smell like?
I don't want
to
know.
Can you see the tunnels?
No. Delay.
I think that one should be called head flying more than delay.
See, man, I had an FX box on my other mixer, man. And you can't test that. Because, like, I could do, like, mad echoey stuff with it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Skype would break.
And now I cast you into the vacuum of space.
Yeah, there you go. That was the Vogons. Yes, this does have a whole load of Hitchhiker's Guide presets programmed into it.
I think I've just figured out why the shoutcast bit wasn't working.
Oh, yes.
It was sort of written in 2002 before they brought PHP 4 out.
That could be why it didn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we do a bit more news? That might be an idea.
Yeah, then.
Okay, what else did I find? Oh, yes, as you may know, Segways are banned in the UK. Did you know?
What?
Yeah,
Segways.
Yeah,
they're banned in the UK.
And really sad.
It is very, very sad. I found, however, one of those comments pages on the BBC News website, and it had one of the most comical quotes I've come across in the last year, at least. Let's see if I can find the bloody article again. Maths genius declines the top prize because he's just too good for money.
What a nerd.
Yes, quite. Damn. I hate it how the news moves so fast. You can never keep up with things. God, I'm gonna have to search for it. That's sad, isn't it? It's in the BBC magazine section, I think.
Yeah.
Ah, bugger. It's probably in the IRC logs, you know. Somewhere.
Probably. We shall have to consult the IRC monster.
Yes. The IRC monster. Bloody blue, no. Hey, emo. Okay, that was me being told off.
By who?
YouTube, by Vesalius here, I think.
Okay.
Ah, here we go. Ah.
When are you getting told off by me?
Because I wasn't there. Right, let's try that. What can you drive on roads and pavements? You know what's been use me. You know what's making these things banned, right?
What's that?
What?
It's the Highway Act of 1835.
Right. That says, ye devilish two-wheeled gyro gyro vehicle shall not pass the Queensland.
Only on private land may these devilish devices be
two-wheeled
used.
Gyro vehicles.
Vehicles. Right, where is... here we go. This is a comment from Derek Belm from Lichfield in the United Kingdom, and he says, "I'm in favour of the ban, but I feel it should be extended. Having been run over twice by a motorised wheelchair users in the last 18 months whilst walking on a pavement, I feel it's time that pedestrians hit back."
Just don't kick them off it and take it off them.
How retarded is this man?
I'm trying to think, how do you actually get run over by a shop mobility scooter thing? How is that even physically possible? How can you not see it come in?
It only goes at 4 miles an hour. If that...
And if you ever come, I don't know if you get this wrong, but the centre I am, As soon as they get within 8 foot of you, they start shouting, woo, woo, to make sure you get out the way. So look at those built-in sirens or something. It's stupid.
Well, I have been run over by an invalid carriage before.
An invalid carriage?
Yes, an invalid carriage.
I got run over by an invalid character.
Yes.
Syntax.
No, but those things are a bit more substantial than an electric wheelchair, you know?
Yeah.
They're like big, they're like fucking golf buggies. I got run over one of those by one of those once.
That was did you really?
Yes, I did really. do you know why though? You know why? It was two of them going down the pavement. Apart from anything.
Oh no, not two. That's organised crime.
Quick, give them an ASBO. Oh, bloody hell.
I can just see two like grannies. Alright, Betty, you get on his left and I'm getting his right.
No, but there was two of them going next to each other and they were chatting to each other, not looking where they were going. And one of them just drove straight over me and they didn't notice I was there until it went over my leg and I sort of screamed. Because they're not they're not light.
I was run over by a milk float. That was quite amusing.
Were you asleep?
No, I was actually helping my cousin with his milk round and I sort of ran towards it but sort of got there just in front of it. I was too fast, so I actually stepped in front of it rather than stepped into it. And
did it take him 15 minutes to break?
Yeah. Oh.
What?
If you care to look at the link, I've actually solved the shoutcast problem. The link in IRC. It's working!
Working. Spaz Carriage Carnage.
Spaz Carriage Carnage.
What's that?
That's what Noodle says like half an hour ago.
What did he say?
Spaz Carriage Carnage. Sorry. I know that's terribly unpolitically correct, but it's hilarious.
We're not here to be politically correct. Server 1 has 4 listeners. Server 2 has no listeners.
4 listeners? Good lord. That's like breaking the record or something.
I think that's higher than the usual.
Oh, we usually get about 8 or 9.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is Zinya listening?
No.
Oh.
Yes, you know why nobody's listening to the second one? Because we haven't told anyone to tune into it.
Oh, that's what I'm just going to do. If I can get someone to listen to this one, then if the thing that I'm talking about, if the stats update, then it works.
Cool.
And then I'm great. Then all I have to do is make a function to work out which one can handle more by the max listeners and the current listeners.
Yes, indeed.
And which should be really easy.
It should be really easy.
Because both Shoutcast actually, in the XML, has max listeners.
Does Icecast?
And Icecast has max underscore listeners.
Oh, really? I'd never noticed that.
But the only problem is the Icecast one is set to unlimited.
Okay,
which is going to be really weird when it's trying to handle numbers in the equation without going into great detail telling it to if it says
infinity.
Unlimited.
Infinity!
Hang on, does it say just unlimited in words?
Yeah.
So all you need to do is do an isNum on it. And if it isn't, then if it's unlimited, then do something to say it's unlimited, like set it to zero or something.
Or just, well, you could just set it in the broadcasting thing to a certain high number then.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm sure it's not unlimited. I'm sure it can't handle an unlimited amount of users.
Ooh, infinite. There's one listener. It has updated.
Woohoo! Has it?
We are the ownage.
Yay!
It It's a bit slow though. I'll take that down to my connection being a bit shite.
Well, it is, yeah, because it's accessing your connection twice.
Ah.
And that's fairly slow anyway. I am Grey.
Very well done.
It's now official. I'm Grey.
Cool. Whilst we bask in your glory, let's see if we have any different kind of stuff. Well, Slashdot says Stargate SG-1 is cancelled, but I don't particularly care that much because that series is a bit crap.
I don't believe them. So it's all a bunch of crap.
Probably. Oh yes, Dark Matter. Someone, or a few people, have worked out that Dark Matter does in fact exist.
Where?
In the Bullet Nebula. I think that's right. Something like that. But yes, they have reasonably conclusive proof that Dark Matter does exist, and it emits X-rays. And yes, whether yes, or it doesn't emit X-rays. I can't remember one or the other.
If you get whole, if you think you've broken a leg, you'll get some dark matter.
What?
Doesn't matter.
Apart from the fact that it'll just like suck your leg off into a black hole.
No.
But that'd be interesting.
Dark matter's really boring. It sounds a lot cooler than it actually is. It's just a whole load of matter you can't see.
Don't crush my hopes.
Well, it's alright. Well, at least it means we don't have a supermassive black hole in the middle of our galaxy. Because if it does exist, then that would completely explain it.
And the song would be true.
Yes. So there was another piece of news I was going to talk about briefly. And I think it was on Newsvine. Oh, yes. Vaguely. Yes. There's a huge, huge list of downloads from Microsoft, bits of software, free software from Microsoft, which is actually quite interesting, particularly the research ones, like virtual Wi-Fi. Is bloody awesome if you even by Microsoft standards. It means that you can connect to multiple Wi-Fi networks at the same time. That's cool. Awesome. Can Linux do that? I don't think it can, you know. You have to have more than one card. Somehow it abstracts the Wi-Fi card itself and allows you to have multiple interfaces. So you could connect to two different Wi-Fi networks at the same time and bridge them, or range extend things. So connect to one and then rebroadcast it over the other virtual network.
That's crazy.
Which is awesome. I think you can kind of do that with certain Wi-Fi drivers under Linux. I think HostAP lets you do something like that. I'm not sure if it supports that it completely like that though.
Right.
Because you know, even those little Wi-Fi range extender things that you program in what range extender thing that it needs to extend, that will still have two different interfaces. So it can rebroadcast it and pass it and route the traffic correctly.
Where's the downloads? Somebody wants to know.
I'll just paste the main URL.
The URL?
Yep, and that's the research one. And it's open source. It's open
From
source.
Microsoft.
And it's Microsoft.
My God, what's
happening? I don't think that's possible.
I'm afraid it is. It's probably not very good source, but it is open source. And you can download the software, which is apparently version 1.0.
Do you have to register?
Nope.
Microsoft. Do you have to give blood?
Not that I can tell.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah.
You have to agree to an EULA, of course.
So it's not really open source.
Well, this is probably Microsoft version of open source. So it's not actually GPL'd, but it is kind of.
No.
You will not remove it's not GPL.
That you will not remove any copyright or other notices from the software. Ah, so it's not open source.
It's not open source at all.
It's just they give you the source. Well, that's better than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just view source.
Quite.
Wait a minute. What's devoid with PHP?
Divide?
Is it slash? You just slash?
Yeah. Unless you're doing mod divide or something like that.
There's not some weird devoid function.
Not that I know of.
Well, we'll try this.
Could always just sort of break out into assembly and do it like that, but I don't suggest it.
Yeah. Oh, why not?
It won't be very much faster. No. Yes. So, by the looks of things, this virtual Wi-Fi thing patches the wireless zero config thing and lets you fiddle around with stuff, which is cool. It looks like a couple of bits of software have already used bits and pieces of it. And I think you're allowed to do that. I think you are. But you have to have the copyright notices, which is kind of sucky, but, you know, that's how it goes.
That's the way the world turns.
Afraid so. Okay, let's have a look at the time. Oh, we have 47 minutes left. Cool. Yes. What could we... do I have any other news? I didn't really prepare very much else. Unless there's something... Newsvine. Looks like some company is lobbying for the right to implant chips under the skins of nearly 1.4 million US military personnel.
Cool.
Lovely.
Sounds vaguely disturbing, but you know. I suppose it's just like dog tags, isn't it?
Cool. At least the last thing that will be left when their bodies explode will be those little tags.
Indeed. Well, yeah, it's probably just like a, you know, dog tag type thing. So I suppose it's not really that much different to anything they've already got. Apart from the fact they can't take them off, ever.
I like the little comment that was said in IRC yesterday. I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry I can't give you credit. But it said it's more evil than an Al-Qaeda comment box.
There's some weird people out there on IRC, aren't there?
I think IRC attracts that kind of person.
Yeah.
I think that news story is more evil than an Al-Qaeda comment box.
I think I can safely say that your server is the only server I found that lacks homoerotic behaviour.
That can be fixed very soon.
Yeah, and you will talk proper English in like other servers. It's like, I do you in Brom, and you're like, where? It's nice to find nice civilised people on IRC. You test out implants, apparently.
Yes. I'd test out implants.
I could test out implants.
I know one of the first people in the UK to ever have a RFID implant, ever. Well, not intimately, but, you know. He's a dude who's a professor at Reading University.
They do, you can get RFID implants. I don't know if I said before, from the piercing place in Birmingham.
Yes.
got a nice sign that says, what was it? Would you like to be a cyborg or something? Which attracted my attention immediately.
Not really being a cyborg, is it?
No, but stupid people are like, yeah, I'm going to get one and be cool. Because they're idiots.
Chorus.
What's this double arrow in at me for?
Did what?
Oh, I'll put an extra arrow in, that was silly.
An arrow?
I'm just playing with things.
It's always good.
A less than. I'm just trying to sort it out. I'm testing out whether forward slash is actually reading. Deployed.
Is Spangles trying to tell me how to sell say Reading? I think he is, you know.
Yeah. Who's God at P? God at a P? I am God at a P. And he wants a mobile phone built into his squad.
Oh dear.
Spangles does. Lovely.
Ah!
What?
God at A. Has quit and joined and quit and things. Oh no! Sorry, I'm going to turn that chorus off. It's actually starting to annoy even me. Sorry.
I love it when people are about to time out, so if they reconnect with their other name, and then their other one times out, and then they time out immediately, and then they're back. And Lowell is James Bolf. Bold. I like Bolf. Bolf sounds better.
Bolf type.
Network problem. Is he listening? Or is he just telepathically picking up what we're saying?
Magically.
I'm going for the telepathical crap.
I am Bold, James Bold. I am Italic. The worst enemy.
Doctor Italic.
No, Mr. Bold, I expect you to lowercase.
Okay.
I think we've just successfully found another weird person on IRC.
Who's that?
It appears he's on Skype as well.
Jam back. Sorry. Ding, ding, ding. I'm going to attempt something extremely dangerous.
You're going to lick your fingers and put it in the plug socket?
No.
Oh. Not that dangerous then.
Huh?
Not that dangerous then.
No. Well, not actually very dangerous at all.
You just wanted to sound cool.
Sorry, I've just got a new piece of software which I've found very fun. It's called Mix with two X's. We could have to sort of end the show with something like that in the near future.
You know that like the end of the season is very soon.
Yes. How soon?
Very soon, like Tuesday next week.
Ooh, gasp.
I was thinking of doing like a compilation of all the best bits from season 5.
Sounds like a plan.
And then we just kind of mix it together, and like we don't have to do a really really last show. We just go, yeah, this is it. Listen, fuckers, and then go away.
And then make a swift exit whilst we've stalled the rest of listeners.
Yeah. whilst it's playing, we can just relax and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Or
indeed.
You could phone up Canada Direct and see if you can piss them off for a while. Since they don't seem to be very nice people.
No, they don't. Oh yes, that reminds me. I've got to do a prank call to a surf shop.
Oh yeah, I remember when we tried that.
Oh, I've got a better one lined up.
Hmm?
I've got a better one lined up. If we're going to do a stupid show at the end, then Yeah, I might play it on there. Because it won't be very long, it would just be stupid.
I phoned up, I don't know if you know what Audi is.
Who?
Audi, the shop, the like superstore thing.
Oh, right.
Well, I was looking for a small job, and they were looking, and I found an advert for it, so I thought I'll phone up and ask. And what the fuck? I phoned up and I asked, and phoned up 118 to try and get hold of the number, and they were like, we don't have it, but we can put you through to the store location hotline. So I was like, alright then. Spoke to the woman there. They're not actually allowed to give out the store phone numbers because they're all X directory. Why have all the stores X directory? That makes no sense. What if you need to get in contact with them about something?
I wonder if Waitrose is like that. Because I have to somehow call a friend of mine at work because she's been going on for the last month about how she's so special and she's got a phone at Waitrose or something. And she hasn't given the number out to anyone because it's supposed to be employees only. So I'm going to try and phone it up. And she's going to think, how the hell did you get to me? But yes, anyway, that might make her a little less excited about having fun. Anyway, should we finish off the show?
Yes.
Yes! Okay.
One question before we go.
Okay.
I'm going to set, it's about the TXP thing. I'm actually going to set it, if it picks up as unlimited, to a number. Do you have any idea as a particular number you'd like it?
128.
128. 1,377.
Oh my god. Yep,
can be done.
Why the hell not? That'll do the job nicely, I think.
Yeah.
If. Oh, boy, here we go.
To be honest, we're not going to have any of our servers set up as unlimited unless we suddenly find a server farm with a random spare computer in it.
Yeah, it's like they have when you buy hosting or something, you say you have unlimited space. I'd like to find a hard drive that has an unlimited capacity.
Yes.
That would be brilliant.
I'm sure Google's array probably has a fairly unlimited capacity. But it does have a limit somewhere.
Yeah, everything has I've never run into a hard drive that has a limited. But that'd be quite amusing.
Let me just run this script that duplicates this 40 gig file forever and see how unlimited your drives are.
No, just get something that outputs random data. At like 20 gigs a second.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to go find some free hosting that say, you'll have unlimited crap on your place, and wrote a PHP script to duplicate a Linux distro ISO or something. See how many I can get on it before it sort of implodes.
And everyone else's space says, you have run out of your quota. Hang on a minute. What quota? Right, okay.
Yeah, that'd be quite good, actually.
We're really going to have to end the show now, otherwise we're going to run over quite badly.
It's going to explode.
Yes.
We're going to get run over by a sharp mobility car.
Yes.
Like Dexter.
Ow!
A milk float or what was the other one we've had today?
Wheelchair. Anyway, this has been Angry Boys Radio on the 20 things of thing.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Revolution, I say flash dot, slash dot. Gotta reinvent the style, gotta push, gotta strain, gotta
Huh.